episode of All Consumed. And this is especially a tasty episode. I'm Chris Osborne. I'm here with my co-host.
I'm Neil Davey.
Yeah, I was going to say my lovely assistant, but, you know, he doesn't
I'll take that. I'm no use to anyone, but yeah.
And this is just our podcast about stuff we've consumed one way or another recently and thought was worth sharing. And our location today is definitely worth sharing. We are at Panadera in Soho, a Filipino bakery.
Yeah.
That is fantastic. I think I even mentioned this place on a recent past episode.
I believe
but,
so.
But now we're here together. What do you think, Neil?
It's great. It's great. We've just done a couple of color breakfast sandwiches. We did a strange garlic cheesy bun thing, which is probably compelling at 10 o'clock on a Sunday morning.
There you go.
I'm drinking an ube latte.
Oh my
this
God.
Is one of the more purple coffees of my life, but absolutely delicious. Again.
I just had a Pandan Crush, which is delicious. I mean, I just realized I'm kind of, maybe that's why I'm talking fast right now. Just had ice cream for breakfast, but yeah, like little chunks of jelly Pandan, creamy, really delicious.
Yeah, so I had some serious looking donuts and the flan things.
Yeah, I think there might be an ube donut in our future, but breakfast, I had the ultimate breakfast sandwich. Sounds like a bit of hyperbole, but there's a good argument that it could be. It has some elements really of sort of Egg McMuffin.
Yeah, it's been kind of sausage, egg, and cheese.
McMuffin, but with like a tangy kind of mayo to it. Very crispy. And
bread's
the bread
really
here
good.
Is really
bread's
nice.
Really
you had the
good.
Egg sando.
Yeah.
And there's like the, I call it
Texas toast.
Thick,
yeah, that kind of thick.
Kind of fluffy on the inside.
Kind of almost like milk bread. Really sort of crispy and toasty on one side. Just a really good sandwich. As you said, really good egg salad. The ultimate breakfast was just a very, very good breakfast sandwich.
They do nice matcha drinks here as well. Yeah, I've been here. I will be back.
Nice and spectacular.
Yeah, not my last time. And lucky me, I got to see you earlier this week too,
we
Neil.
Did.
We were.
We hung out
having
twice.
A nice meal together earlier this week. Where
very,
was that?
Very Again. Romantic, side by side, at Robin's Ramen. At Supermarket of Dreams. There's this...
Twiddly date. Robin.
Yeah. Twiddly date.
Robin. I can't say that five times fast.
I don't think anyone can. It's all right. Yeah, Supermarket
of
Dreams.
Supermarket of Dreams.
Holland Park.
Ooh, Holland Park.
The kind of place you would kind of anticipate being kind of, I don't know, vaguely overpriced and very she-she and stuff. And to be fair, as a supermarket, it probably is. I spent more on a packet of crumpets than I've ever done in my... North London middle class life.
An audience, let me
they
tell you,
were delicious crumpets.
Spend some money on crumpets.
Yeah, they were delicious crumpets.
Jones's crumpets. Yeah.
Jones's,
I've spent money on those before. They're actually really good.
Excellent crumpets. So it was a good opportunity to try those. And then basically, there's a little kitchen area at one end. They clear out the middle of the store, put in tables, and then offer this ramen menu on occasion called Robin's Ramen.
Oh, yeah.
And actually, we would be there on an invitation. But price-wise, I mean, sort of starters and stuff were average about £9. We had the fantastic tuna tartare shoestring fries and an egg yolk, a hogget skewer, really
chicken
good chicken offal
skewer. Really good too.
And the cuttlefish karaage. But then my ramen was, the pork one, was a tenner. Which is less than, I think, just about any other ramen place in
London. Yeah, right. No, it's reasonable. Yeah. Good quality. It's tasty.
Yeah, very sensibly priced.
Thank
very,
you.
Very delicious.
That was your plus one. That was kind of nice.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Always. Always, Chris. Always. Yes. Unless my wife's listening, in which case you'll see second. That's all right. She's got time to listen to this. She has to put up with me the rest of the time. She's not going to.
Oh, you have a podcast?
But yes, no, Robin's Ramen. It's not on, I'm not sure how often they run it, but it is worth seeking out.
Okay. It's a pretty common thing, yeah.
I think so. I think they run it several times.
There's other stuff going on at supermarkets.
They do this kind of mad tuna thing, which I'm hopefully getting to another time.
Yeah.
We'll talk about in due course.
Let me know if you need a plus.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, that was a lot of fun. But yes, and the bonus.
Great
and then,
location, by the way, Supermarket of Dreams, right? Next, really just right down the street from Holland Park Station.
And we parted ways. I jumped on the tube home, and you went for a little stroll.
I went for a long stroll, but the highlight was I hadn't been to Holland Park in probably about a year.
It's a lovely
park. It was a beautiful night. We've been lucky with some really nice weather this past couple of weeks, I guess. And yeah, Holland Park is a lovely, lovely spot, particularly Kyoto Gardens inside there. Just gorgeous waterfall, koi pond, nice little curated pathway. You definitely can't get out and sit on the grass, but there's plenty of seats around there. And it just made me realize, maybe this time of year, it's great. Yeah. So many nice places to walk. I mean, I just went from park to park to park before I was tired and needed to get on the tube. But Holland Park, Kyoto Garden, Holland Park is just fantastic, yep, man. So that was really nice. Also really nice, and keeping in the broader breakfast theme of things. You did something that's kind of a... Holland Park's, Kyoto Garden, Holland Park's kind of a London institution, and you had a kind of a London institution breakfast.
I did. I did. And this is less... I don't know, sort of all consumers or recommending it. It's, I mean, Dishoom. We you undoubtedly know Dishoom. You undoubtedly know they do a good breakfast. But it was the first time I've ever made it to the breakfast and not ordered a bacon and egg or a sausage and egg or something, an egg naan.
Wow.
And I just want to record this as a bit of a triumph.
Yeah. Okay. So what did you have instead?
They do something called...
So for those who don't know, the sausage naan at Dishoom is kind of like one of those must-have London things.
Just
that has been
great breakfast.
Probably over a decade.
It's a great, great breakfast. Really, yeah, freshly made naan used as the vehicle for a bacon or a sausage sandwich. But they also do something called chole puri halva. Some chickpea stew, kind of halva, kind of semolina, sweet semolina paste.
Yes, ma'am.
Some little pickles, even. and a puri, one of the kind of big, fluffy, sort of kind of rugby ball-shaped breads. And it's just, yeah, break off a bit of bread, gather up a mouthful of all the other stuff. And it was phenomenal. It may edge out the naan as my favorite breakfast there. So, but yeah, having laughed a long, long time that the rules are, no, well, you have to go and have the egg and bacon naan.
Yeah.
You don't. So just, and you can have vegetables. And I sometimes do.
Really?
There's another thing I'd like to record
that
I do occasionally eat things that are not, meat-based.
Okay.
And
very
sugar.
Nice. Very, very nice.
That was a good one.
All right. Well, while we're talking about things you consume in the early morning, just this morning, actually, on my way over here, had a little extra time, and I walked by this cafe that looked fantastic, Nagari Coffee on Newburgh Street, so just off Carnaby Street. They've got some other locations around London, I think two or three, kind of off my radar, but it was a fantastic iced coffee. I mean, I don't know. I took a photograph, I think, of the actual coffee beans and everything, but just it was kind of juicy for just a filter coffee. It had elements of grapefruit juice and a little bit of pine aftertaste. Mm-hmm. So it was really interesting. It was delicious and quenching in a way that you don't usually expect coffee to be. I got a to-go cup because I was just going to plan to walk around, but then I looked at this lovely, beautiful little seated area early on a Sunday morning. There were a couple of seats left. It was actually quite popular, but I managed to sit down there, enjoy it. They're playing bossa nova and just sort of set a nice tone for a nice sunny Sunday morning.
You did look very chilled when you were
I'm doing all the caffeine and sugary things. In fact, honestly though, that coffee probably didn't have much caffeine because the sweeter the coffee is, the less caffeine is in it. So quite often the more interesting coffees are the less boostery coffees. Yeah.
Okay.
So that was great.
Okay, I'll keep an eye out for that one.
Another cafe I recently enjoyed was out of town in Castle Cary in Somerset.
Beautiful part of the world.
Yeah, beautiful part of the world. That's why I was there. But before I get into the reason I was there, I'll just tell you about the cafe I really enjoyed. And that is the Station Cafe at the Creamery in Castle Cary. Now, the station in Castle Cary is probably the train station. It's probably the best station in that sort of rural Somerset area to get to and from London. And there is a creamery. They make cheese and other dairy products.
It's already my favorite station in the world.
The train just below the station. Like, from the platforms, you can look down and you can see what looks like they're making like mozzarella. In fact, a lot of the dairy products there are water buffalo milk.
So, interesting. Yeah.
In fact, I had some water buffalo ice cream there while I was waiting for my train. It was great. But yeah, the station cafe is really beautiful. I was not expecting it to be quite so luxurious and comfy, and I had a really good meal. Everything was essentially made in or near Somerset, near the station there, or even from Castlecary. And it was just great. I think they're associated with a very well-known hotel called the Newt.
Yes.
And
I know the Newt.
So just a little bit of class and sort of stamp of approval there. It was amazing. It was a nice way to end my weekend, my Easter weekend in Somerset.
And it's still a working station because you then jumped on the...
It's okay. But...
Every other station.
Yes.
Yeah, make cheese.
Make cheese and sell it in a comfortable setting. And well, I don't know, maybe some tube stations I can think of I really wouldn't want to eat.
Possibly
cheese.
Not. No.
Yeah, but anyway, I was there in that area. I stayed in Wells, Wells. I always feel like I should spell it when I say I've been there so people don't mix it up with the Celtic nation. But beautiful place known for its cathedral. Which is gorgeous. Not religious, but we were there over Easter, went to the Easter service. And something that kind of has gotten me to go to churches a few times without any sort of worship reasons is pipe organs. It's fucking awesome, man. And it's like you get these giant and sometimes really old and historic buildings. And then somebody is playing this thing and having a blast.
Yeah.
And what I noticed there at Wells Cathedral and a couple of other lovely churches that I've been to in and around London mostly, but that organist has like one of the greatest jobs ever. Maybe work 1 or 2 days, maybe 2 days a week playing beautiful music.
Yep.
And then like obviously there's a sense.
Yeah. It is a sound like no other.
For the services and everything. But if you listen, when people are just sort of coming in or going out or in between sort of like the official outline of the service.
And they're just riffing.
Free jazz. And what happens if I press this pedal and this key and pull this knob at the same time? And it's really fun. Yeah. And so, Wells Cathedral, obviously gorgeous. The Bishop's Palace there, amazing. The just the air. What is the Vicar's Passage or something like that? It's like the oldest street in Europe that still retains its original purpose. Something like that. Okay, it's beautiful and very anachronistic to look on. Except for maybe the scaffolding, but you can just turn your camera and you're not going to see that. Beautiful, beautiful area. Really close to Glastonbury. I'd never been to Glastonbury. Went there. Glastonbury, the town, the hoot. Kind of an add-on. We didn't have any plans. I know you have mentioned an excellent pub.
Yeah, we did the Queen of Cups. Aisha, the chef proprietress there, and she described Glastonbury as like this. So it's you can have your. Have your palm red and lymphatic whatever massage, but you can't buy underwear. There are no normal shops. No. But it's fantastically eccentric. Yeah. Book on witchcraft, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Souvenir socks, yes. Practical pants, forget it. Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of cool.
Yeah.
And that was a fun to walk around and see. That pub was completely sold out.
Popular place.
We had some time. Westy Glastonbury. Ate well, but nothing necessarily worth mentioning on the blog here. But what was worth mentioning was going up the Glastonbury tour.
Yes.
And it tore my shins and calf muscles apart. It was a bit of a hike, but not really that bad. But it was gorgeous up there. Really windy day.
It is a genuinely lovely part of the world.
I don't know if this is a normal thing, but just inside the base of the tour, there were people singing.
Okay.
And the acoustics were great. One guy, I don't know what it was, but he was just sort of like emitting these chants about like loving other people. I'm making it sound really hokey, but like people were crying and it really touched me as well. And then somebody else she took a turn. You could just tell she had a beautiful voice. She sang like Amazing Grace. That was really, really touching and nice. Right. Beautiful day. Really nice to be out there. Very windy at the top. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's what being at the top's all about. But you traveled north of here recently.
I did. Yeah. I got a chance to, again, another London stalwart. That's sort of colonizing or spreading around the UK. Blacklock, the chop house, the chops restaurant. They've opened in Manchester, but they recently opened in Birmingham. I was very kindly invited up to one of the opening nights. Feels like it's been there for years, and I mean that in the best possible way. It's a really simple offering that they do along the kind of the Flatiron lines. It's, let's say, we do half a dozen things, and we do them really, really well. Really good selection of wines by whatever, small glass, medium glass, small carafe, big carafe. At sensible prices, the all-in, all
the
chops.
You know the carafe with a really long neck?
Yeah, sorry?
A giraffe.
Yeah, yes, giraffe. This is what I have to put up with all the time doing this. you should hear the warm-up to this thing, honestly. Again, just do a really solid job at a sensible price. Birmingham, they've introduced fish to the menu for the first time. That's a very good question. I don't know Birmingham well enough to tell you. It's very close to New Street Station. It's about a 5-minute walk. It's kind of is it a cathedral? There's a big church, big cathedral.
Yeah.
It's kind of the other side of that square.
Okay.
So literally 5-10 minute walk back to New Street. Very, very good indeed. As I say, Phil's completely lived in the best possible way. So, welcome to Birmingham.
They got fish on the menu.
And they have a char-grilled monkfish in a sauce reminiscent of, funnily enough, not dissimilar to what we had this morning, the garlicky, cheesy thing. You mentioned that reminded you of the Olive Garden dough ball. It reminded me of the Pizza Express dough ball. And the sauce on the monkfish reminded me of the...
Very, very different places. They have their merits.
But yes, well done, Birmingham. You made a very sensible decision.
Very
on
good.
That one.
Very nice. All right. You been reading anything good recently?
Yeah, actually, it's always nice when you can kind of A, recommend a book, and B, support a friend. So somebody I've known for a long, long time, Lizzie Pook, great travel writer. So knew her on that sort of circuit for a long, long time. And a few years ago, she started writing books under her name. Did a great book called Moonlight and the Pearler's Daughter. Got great reviews. Did a second book, a kind of historical fiction with a little bit of crime. Seems to be the niche. A great follow-up called Maud Horton's Glorious Revenge. And now she's now writing under the name, instead of Lizzie Pook, under the name of Elizabeth Arnott. She's just released a book called The Secret Lives of Murderers' Wives. I think this is the one, I think the publishers are really pushing on this one. She's done lots of book tours and stuff in the US. She's doing lots of appearances in bookstores. It has TV series written all over it.
Hard to enjoy. In between the letters.
It's a fantastic read. It's about three murderers' wives. Set in the 1960s in the US, it's the wives whose husbands were serial killers. They've all met because of that, and effectively are trying to solve a mystery of another potential serial killer, but facing 1960s misogyny. There's a lot of very valid points about male violence and domestic violence, but not in a preachy manner. It all flows very naturally, so it's very well written. As I say, lovely to be able to recommend a book by a mate, but also lovely to be able to recommend a book because it's really bloody good. So, Secret Lives, Murderer's Wives, Elizabeth Arnott.
Oh, go for it. No, no.
Thank you. Okay.
Just to prove we're live.
Yeah.
So that's an absolute cracker.
Amen. Proper page turner.
So yeah, as we were saying just before we press record, we have discovered saw an actress called Kush Jumbo on Claudia Winkleman's chat show the other day, and she was talking about a show, she'd made for Apple TV called Criminal Record, co-starring her and Peter Capaldi. The second season was just about to launch. It sounded quite interesting. We hadn't come across it. As we were saying, so your Netflix, your Apple, your Amazon algorithms seem to sort of pick up on whatever it is the last two things you've watched, and then kind of recommend lots of stuff along the same genre. Hadn't come across Criminal Record, but it's one of those, a bit like Line of Duty, it's one of those great police procedural things that makes you feel a little bit grubby. Oh. Kind of, when I get to the end of like maybe two episodes and go, yeah, can't watch another one. Need a shower and a detox and to drink a pint of water. Very, very good storytelling. Unlike quite a lot of these dramas, it's eight parts and eight parts for a reason. It's not six parts or eight parts that could have been told in six parts, as I feel with a lot of Netflix dramas. Very tight, very well done. Again, covers all sorts of interesting points about sexism and racism and historic nature of both of those through the police force. Really, really worth a watch. And season two's just dropped, which we've not started yet because we needed a shower after watching the end of season one. But yeah, so that was good. What about you? I said you were also recommending something earlier in terms of the TV.
That doesn't make you feel grubby at all, but might make you wish that you had a bit of dirt under your nails. Wonderful show, also on Netflix. This is a gardening show. Hosted by Zach Galifianakis, and it's really silly and goofy in the best Zach Galifianakis sort of way, but it is an actual gardening show. I think it's just six episodes, only about 15 minutes long. He interacts a lot with kids in beautiful gardening and forest settings, and it's hilarious, informative, sweet than the ube in your espresso this morning, and just a really fun show. I just wanted to try. I'm a big fan of Zach Galifianakis.
My
partner before we started watching something else. Can we just see a quick episode of this? It's only 15 minutes. And then we just, you know, like binged on all six episodes. Really sweet and fun.
Nice.
Definitely works watching. I'd watch it over and over again. I do hope they keep doing more episodes, because really basic, like one show was about apples, another was about tomatoes, composting, foraging. So really sort of simple, basic topics. Mm-hmm. And then they just go a little deep, but just also just get the point out that gardening is great, you know, just like, you know, and you see it in the way the show is set up. These people are so happy and have great personalities. They're funny. And apparently Zach Galifianakis is a big gardener and advocate for gardening as well. So really great stuff. I loved it. Yes. Let's see here. Also really great is seeing museums, Neil. And I have recently gone to a new museum, kind of an old museum, but in a new spot. Mm-hmm. And that's the V&A East, which is open.
Exciting.
Kind of Stratford side of the Queen Elizabeth Olympic Park. I know I've mentioned the V&A East Storehouse before. That opened some time back, but now actual museum's open. I can't give you a strong review of it because I was just riding my bike by it to see if it was going to be open, and some guy came out and said, hey, you park right there and come on in. And it was actually the opening day.
Amazing.
Super busy, so it was a little annoying. Everything was free except for an exhibition about black music in the UK, which is essentially, at least for the past probably 6 years, UK music.
Yeah.
And I wasn't prepared to pay for that, but I will go back to see it because it looks amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
I've read reviews of it. It looks good. Interesting building, not necessarily designed for exhibition spaces, but what I did see there was neat and interesting, and really nice terraces looking over the Olympic Park and Hackney Wick and the Lee Valley. So that was nice. Really nice. Yeah. I'll go back.
Yeah, no, we'll definitely we'll be venturing that way myself at some point, I'm sure.
Yeah, we could do an episode there.
Yeah, we should.
You know, Jaconi, am I saying that right? The Indian restaurant in Marylebone?
Yes. Yeah, they've got the cafe.
They have the cafe there, yeah. So maybe we can record there.
Yeah, yeah.
Exhibitions, while I'm talking about them, that I would like to mention is the Ramses exhibition at Battersea Power Station, a little venue called Neon.
This is Egyptian Pharaoh, not Gordon.
No.
Yes.
Egyptian Pharaoh. If you ever step near like a tube station or anything in London, you've probably seen the posters for it.
I have seen the posters.
But so a bit of hype about it, but it was really good.
Oh, yeah.
Really big pieces there, but also lots of like ephemera and little things from thousands of years ago that are just still so incredible. Like just how well they've retained their color. I mean, I'm sure they've been restored, but just like really cool art. Really amazing presentation of why Ramses is a name you know when you hear it and stands out more than other pharaohs. Really interesting. No mummy, or at least no mummified humans, but there are mummified animals. There's some mummified cats, mummified a lion cub, and then like some mummy caskets, which are amazing. It's just really cool, and it made me realize how much I love my trip to Cairo a few years ago, and how much I really want to go back to do the Valley of the Kings and see like Ramses' land and all that. So, really worthwhile.
Excellent. Yeah.
And also just a nice excuse to I've seen
the posters. Battersea's so easy for me to get to, just the bottom end of the Northern Line.
There you go.
And never seem to venture down there that often.
Yeah, but it's great, man. Really should. Essentially just a glorified shopping.
Yeah.
Just a mall, but the structure is gorgeous. Yeah.
And with some real little gems and the whole arcade food hall thing. And I think you said you ate down there as well.
Yeah, I went to Bao at Battersea Power Station.
Always a very, very sensible decision.
Obviously well-known, kind of up there with Dishoom, just a really well-known London restaurant. They've got a number of locations. This one here at Battersea was beautiful. Really nice setting, sat at a bar, felt really nice. Menu was great. Varies a little different, a little more from the other bowels. But the my goodness, the fried chicken bow is wonderful. Had an assortment of dishes. I wish I just kind of had a few of those afterward. Wow. Everything else was
live
delicious too.
And
had a lovely matcha blueberry white chocolate latte thing that was amazing. Cold iced is really nice. Mm-hmm. So just a lovely day.
They do a good job.
So yesterday was beautiful. We sat out on the lawn. There's free deck chairs for people. And just, you know, you look one way, you're admiring the Thames. You look the other way, you're admiring the power station. Yeah. Just a nice day out. Talking sort of like cultural outings. You've been to see anything good?
Yeah, I meant to mention this last time we recorded and then completely forgot. So much, much better note keeping this time. So Inter Alia, currently on at the Wyndham's Theatre. Lots of people have been raving about Rosamund Pike. It's not quite a one woman show. It's virtually a monologue. There are a couple of other people in it, but it is her kind of recounting the story. She plays a judge. She is involved in a sexual assault trial. There's lots of her kind of domestic life and background and just family disputes and friendships and everything else. But then it plays out over like an hour and 40 minutes with no interval. What starts is really kind of quite funny and pointed. She then finds herself embroiled in a sexual assault case from a different perspective. And the whole thing is very, very cleverly, very subtly turned on its head. A really, really powerful piece. She is astonishing. She's on on all the time, pretty much talking all the time.
Oh, yeah.
But it flips from being incredibly funny to madly thought-provoking. It is a remarkable performance. I know she's won various awards for it. Every single thing is justified. Yeah, played by Susie Miller is the playwright, Rosamund Pike the lead. Okay. It is astonishing. If you get a chance to go, I think it's on till the end of May. Really, really thrilling storytelling. Clever, funny, and it's incredibly thought-provoking.
Nice.
Yes.
Yeah, I can
hugely recommended.
See, you're really into this.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. I wasn't sure what to expect, and it's proper edge of seat stuff.
But yeah, really it sticks with you for a long, long time afterwards.
Okay.
Very, very cleverly done.
Well, very different from that is something I'm looking forward to going to next weekend. Thought I'd mention here, just in case other people might hear this and want to check it out. Mm-hmm. And that is the Incineration Festival.
I like that. I like the sound of
this.
We have a lot of stuff to burn.
Extreme
can I
bring
metal,
it? An extreme metal music festival over 4 or 5 venues, all within walking distance of Camden. Probably wouldn't have gone, except there's this band called Dragged Into Sunlight that I really want to see. I'll check out some other bands.
You were telling me about them the other night. I kind of want to see them.
Well, there's some tickets, but probably have a good review of them from our next episode.
Excellent.
But this band, Bristol-based, as I understand it, quite often turn their backs to the audience or have like a curtain and use a lot of candles. And it is, the recordings I've heard anyway, it's an endurance test, some of the music. Yeah. And for some reason, I really enjoy these things. I'm really looking forward to it. And just seeing, there's like big venues.
Going to enjoy it out of spite.
Yes. Kind of, yeah. But, big venues like the Roundhouse, which I've never been to the Roundhouse. So I'm really excited.
Yes, it's a very, very, very good venue.
And then some little sort of more indie places like the Dev and the Black Heart. That I've never been to. I'm really excited to see that. And then a few sort of in between, like Underworld and the Electric Ballroom.
Always fun.
I think I'm leaving one venue out, but I'm really looking forward to that.
Cool.
And also just want to mention, I got a special offer.
Hey.
To get a free Simba mattress.
Nice.
If I featured a post about Simba on my blog, which I did, tikichris.com. I also said, I can also mention on my podcast. So I don't know how old my mattress was, but
it makes such a difference.
It's a nice mattress, man.
It makes such a difference.
It's really comfy.
I have no skin in this game.
Yeah.
Having over the last how many years, sort of changed mattress, changed pillows, and you suddenly realize, what the hell were we doing with our sleep the last however many years?
Yeah, I'm happy to say I haven't really been having sleep problems for a long time. I sleep really well, but I think I'm sleeping a little more soundly, and I'm not tossing and turning quite as much, which makes everybody in my household of two much happier as well.
Micro adjustments.
But just... it was good. So I would recommend looking into Simba Mattress.
Okay.
I am quite happy. Also, just want to big up myself one more time. If people haven't checked it out, we've got a special solo episode I did on All Consumed about my recent trip to Geneva.
It's a great episode.
And I'm glad we kept that separate because this has been a full episode.
We've done a lot.
It's nice. Anything else in closing, Neil?
I don't think so. I mean, just... Obviously, we should mention that just kind of underneath us, somewhere around now, is they're playing our song, or we're playing our song, which is The Year Was Strange by Enub.
Okay. And yeah, Tiki Chris for me. Also, how can people find you?
I dine hard on Instagram, pretty much all I do these days on the social media front.
Okay.
And we are there at
All Consumed Pod on Instagram and allconsumedpod.com. Breaking for the show notes. So nice links to everything we've mentioned in this nicely packed episode.
I think
thanks a lot, Neil.
Yeah,
thanks, nice.
Always a pleasure.
Yeah. Thank you.